Things are not as they seem. A visitor was walking through the zoo one day and he noticed the zookeeper over in the corner sobbing heavily. And as he approached another zookeeper, he said, "What's up with that poor fellow over there?" And the zookeeper said, "Oh, nothing really. Oh, he just found out that the elephant had died." "Oh, fond of him, was he?" "No. Not really. He just found out he has to dig the grave." Things aren't as they seem. In 1884, a young man had passed away, and after his funeral, his parents wanted to do something to honor him with a memorial. And so they had arranged a meeting with Charles Eliot, who at the time was the president of Harvard University. President Eliot welcomed this unpretentious couple into his grand office. They sat between him and this desk that was massive. And they began to explain to him what they had in mind. And as they were expressing their desire to fund a memorial, Eliot impatiently said, "Well, perhaps you have in mind a scholarship or something." "No," the woman said. "We were thinking of something maybe a little more substantial. Perhaps a building." In a patronizing tone, Eliot brushed aside the idea as being way too expensive, and the couple departed. That next year, Eliot learned that this unpretentious couple had gone elsewhere and established a $26 million memorial in honor of their son, Leland Stanford, which today we know as Stanford University. A simple, unpretentious couple. Things aren't always as they seem to be. Or maybe more recently, a family has come to offer their baby in baptism in front of church. And after some spoken words, we remember what those words might be, and water is poured over the baby's head, and the pastor speaks those words, "I baptize you in the name of the Father, and in the name of the Son, and in the name of the Holy Spirit, amen." And what we see sure doesn't seem like much. A wet baby, maybe bawling. At best, some happy parents and grandparents and families that have assembled for this special and joyous occasion. But things aren't always as they seem. Because God had promised to do so much more. He promised in His Word to bring faith and forgiveness. By these, God brings new life and light into that infant's life and ushers him into His very presence. The unseen hand pouring water is Jesus' hand. Faith and forgiveness come as the Holy Spirit in a beautiful, mysterious way comes in the water and in the Word. Friends, things aren't always as they seem. It's tough living in the shadow of fame. Jerusalem was, after all, the epicenter of all that was Jewish. That is where the pilgrims traveled for their annual religious festivals. And that little village named Bethlehem, about 5 miles south-southwest, was small and overshadowed. Its biggest claim to fame was that a long, long ago resident from there, a little shepherd boy, had done good. And so Bethlehem became known because of what that shepherd boy did as the city of David. Even so, the word important doesn't come to mind when thinking of Bethlehem of Judah. It's just a sleepy little village. And maybe for those of us who've been around here long enough, it might be something similar to that little village of Macosta. So how could the prophet Micah have ever written this about the no-account little town? But you, Bethlehem Ephrathah, though you are small among the clans of Judah, out of you will come for me one who will be the ruler over Israel, whose origins are from old, from ancient times. After all, wouldn't you think that a ruler whose origins are from old, from ancient times, choose an important place to be born? That's one of the first assumptions I would have made. Some place like Rome, maybe, or Antioch. Maybe even Jerusalem. Could Micah have been asleep on this one? Maybe that old boy misunderstood what God was saying to him when he said, write these things. I don't think so. It's just that things aren't always as they seem to be, are they? Some 700 years after the prophet Micah wrote these words, not even knowing the bigger purpose, a pagan emperor issued a decree that every citizen of the empire had to be counted. This meant that everyone had to return to their family's birthplace. And because Bethlehem had been the home of that shepherd boy who had done good, David's ancestors had to make that trip to Bethlehem to be counted. And among those ancestors who made that trip was a very pregnant young woman and her husband. The emperor thought that he was just counting citizens. The young couple thought that they were traveling to Bethlehem to be counted. But things aren't always as they seem. That poor young couple had traveled to Bethlehem all the way from Nazareth. And because so many people were in the town for the census, the city was just bursting to capacity and all the inns were full. And while they were there, the young woman went into labor. And they had to find a place quickly for her to give birth. You know the story. A stable, a cave, a hole in the ground somewhere behind this inn that was filled with livestock or had been at one point during the day. Probably some straw scattered around, a very crude feeding trough that the animals would eat their feed out of, whatever it was that they fed them, grain of some sort. But it was there that they were ushered to. It just had to do. And it seemed like a feeding trough and a stable like that were a fitting nursery for this peasant-looking couple. But then again, things aren't as they seem to be. Out in the fields near that little town, in that little no-account village, were a few shepherds, and they were watching their flock by night. I'm sure that the sheep were probably lying down on the ground somewhere, and I don't think the shepherds were paying too much attention to them, save but one. One probably was awake. The others were probably curled up or close to a little night fire just for some warmth. And that one shepherd whose job it was to stay awake, to make sure that nothing would prey upon the animals at night, was just probably whittling and thinking to himself of what he's going to do when he gets back home. Everything was normal. Status quo. Except for a strange star. And before he knew what was happening, all of a sudden there was a strange and frightening light. And even a scarier personage appeared before him, hovering just a little ways off the ground. An angel. And that angel directed them to go to this little sleepy town of Bethlehem to see this wondrous sight. A Savior, it said. A Savior. In that little town, Bethlehem. In a stable. My goodness, things just aren't as they seem. Friends, in that little town, overflowing with people, because of a pagan emperor's decree, a humble young woman, Mary, gave birth to a very special baby. She wrapped him in what little bit of cloth that she had, and she put him in that rough feeding trough that the animals had eaten out of earlier that day. Here the infinite, intersected with the finite. Heaven and earth joined so that heaven could bring restoration. Divinity and humanity were born on that night so that forgiveness and peace and salvation could be won for us, for mankind. In that no account little village of Bethlehem, God's wonderful plan of salvation for you and for me was beginning to unfold. An unknown emperor, a seemingly unpretentious young couple, an overflowing town, angels announcing to shepherds, and shepherds as the first witnesses. They were used by God to take things that didn't seem like much, to usher into this world a Savior that didn't seem like much. But then again, things just aren't as they seem to be. You see, in that crib lay the with us God. Remember that word that describes the with us God? Emmanuel. Emmanuel. He took his first breath as a human that night. Moms and dads, remember what that's like? Upon giving birth to one of your children, and there's stillness and stillness and stillness, and all of a sudden there's that, or maybe it's a poke or a pinch, but God, Emmanuel, crying, taking his first breath as a human, having to be nursed and changed and coddled. He was God incarnate. Things certainly aren't as they seem. God in a feeding trough? In a stable? And roughly 30 years later, God hanging on a cross? When all is said and done, we can do nothing to make what happened this coming night any more better or more beautiful. The most overpowering music or overwhelming display of lights could never hold a candle to the simple wonder of a heart that is captivated by our gracious God. Here he demonstrated his love to us. He gave us his one and only Son. When we could not go to him, he came to us. Friends, this is the mystery in the manger. God as a helpless baby, dependent on someone else, here among us. And this baby was born to be made sin. Sin for you and for me. And so he would be the one that would remove the curse of sin and the sting of death that was ours up to that point. That is the most wonderful gift that we have received and for which we gather tonight to celebrate as his children, as his people, giving glory and praise to God. Jesus is not just a baby. He's not just a man. But he's God. in a feeding trough. Walking along the road with men. Teaching beside a sea called Galilee. Healing a bunch of men with leprosy. Sitting and visiting with a woman alongside of a well and telling her things all about herself. Jesus having those stern conversations with Peter. This is Emmanuel, the with us God. Things aren't as they seem to be. And never are when God is involved. As we go from this place tonight, reflect upon that. Think about the humanity of it all, of what it was like for God to come to us in the form of that little baby, helpless, dependent, and then rising again from the grave, being visible and seen by others, so that we can have the promise of that life that He came originally to give. Would you pray with me, please? Heavenly Father, we thank You so much for that life that You have given to us through Your Son, Jesus Christ. And it is on this evening that we celebrate that. As we gather tonight, Lord, again, help our hearts and our minds to be penetrated by Your Word and by the light that brings life. Lord God, we thank You so much for this season of Advent, for the opportunity to just be reminded of those stories, but so much more in the life of Emmanuel, God with us. We praise and thank You in the name of Christ, our Lord and our Savior. Amen.